is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, The Bible as Science and History. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Allison Krauss with I'd Rather Have Jesus, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
This world. was very fascinated by this book title, Are Robots Alive? Well, the author said, yes, they are alive, in his opinion, and he gave reasons why. You know, with artificial intelligence, we have thinking computers. Now we have robots today. They can talk, they can walk, they can feel, they can sense, they can smell, they can hear, they can see. Computers get viruses. The internet, electronic systems, including wireless now means, now on the internet, connect remote places together, interconnected. We could be one giant mind like these movies that have the Borg. We're all connected to one giant mind, a wireless internet of the brain. Is this on the way? Well, it makes you think of God. If they can literally begin, and by the way, scientists at the University of Michigan have discovered a way, they say, they can read a person's thoughts. Well, you can't hide much now. Now they have these X-ray devices they're beginning to put in airports that can use X-rays to see under your clothes. There's going to be a lot of sexual perverts buying those things, aren't they? The military actually has glasses, goggles down. They see. They're X-ray, like the old Dick Tracy, X-ray vision. Well, think about that. Didn't God interconnect all of mankind? He knows our thoughts. He knows our innermost beliefs and feelings and ideas. He knows, Jesus said, he knew what was in the heart of all men. That's in the Gospel of John. Isn't that amazing? He knows what is in the heart of all men. How can he do that? What a scientist. Now, we're developing the internet now. We're developing all of these, this new technology to have the Borg, one giant mind. Did you know that now NASA is working on robots that can replicate robots? In other words, robots that can build robots? So man builds a thinking, talking, walking, feeling, smelling, hearing, seeing robot. And that robot goes out and builds other robots. They're doing it, by the way, at the very base of Mount Fuji in Japan. They have a factory there, and they have robots. And what are they making? Other robots. Did you know that NASA is working on a plan that they will send a spaceship to other planets? And that spaceship will land, and off of it will come a little robot. And that robot will actually take the materials found there on that planet, the materials found on that planet, to make other robots. They could create a whole race of robots somewhere on some other planet, robots from Earth that are made by men. Well, you know, it leads to a lot of heady thinking by men. Hey, we're like gods, doesn't it? And you know, isn't that what Satan said in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve? Eat of this forbidden fruit, and ye shall be as gods. And doesn't it say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that in the last days, how will the Antichrist deceive the people? What will be the strong delusion? It will be this. Men will believe that they are as gods. That was the lie. They will believe the lie. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2. And that's the lie of the Garden of Eden. You'll be like a god. You'll be a god. That's what the New Age teaches. You know, I was recently reading a book called Cosmic Collision. It says the moon was created possibly through some kind of an asteroid or a comet hitting the earth. And a piece of the earth was knocked off into space and became the moon. Then I began to read the book of Genesis, the fourth day of creation. The moon was created and the sun to have light by day and light by night. Is that what God did? Did he create a cosmic collision? Maybe so. Maybe the astronomers are beginning to come around. Maybe they're proving Genesis there. Isn't it astonishing? All of these scientific things. Wow. Listen to this. Did you know that Adam and Eve have been found? A lot of people laugh. Oh, now that's really a myth. Oh, that's really a legend. Oh, yeah. Well, get this, my friends. A lot of people believe that the biblical account of creation in Genesis could not possibly be true. There couldn't have been just one man and one woman, and from them came every human being, now up to 6 billion or more on earth. They couldn't have been our common primary ancestors. Oh, no. Well, now, get this now. Just in our lifetime, the British scientists Watson and Crick came up with DNA. And now scientists have found that in the DNA of each cell of a person, and by the way, that DNA is passed on to the next generation and the next generation. That DNA, your DNA, will be passed on to your kids and then their kids and so forth. Now, everybody has this DNA combination that's specific to them. Sort of the plan. See, it's the plan of God. He planned for creation. This is how he did it, through this mathematical DNA combination of chemicals. The individual at the instant of conception gets half of his DNA from his father's sperm, half from the mother's ova. But listen, in addition, there is a small amount of DNA contained in what is called the mitochondria. It's like a power plant of a cell located just outside the nucleus of the cell. Now, this particular bit of DNA is involved in the metabolism of storage of food, scientists say. It's passed on to succeeding generations only by the mother. Now, get this, my friends. All right? Now, two biochemists at Berkeley, University of California at Berkeley, Vincent Sarek and Alan Wilson, decided to search for clues. And by the way, this is all chronicled in Robert Fade's wonderful book, The Scientific Approach to Biblical Mysteries. They decided to search for clues concerning mankind's origin by examining changes in this mitochondrial DNA among the races of man distributed on the major continents of the world. They believe that they could pinpoint just where man began on Earth, where mankind began on Earth. Well, in the mid-1980s, Wilson directed this research, and it was carried out by two other scientists, Rebecca Kahn and Mark Stone King. These were genetic researchers, scientists. They obtained samples of DNA from women living all over the world in Europe, Asia, Africa, New Guinea, Australia. And then they compared them for differences. Guess what they found? Ooh, my. They found that every woman on Earth, every person on Earth, all came from one source. They said there was one person, one woman, that was the mother of all mankind. And they can trace all of the DNA back to one source. Now, the results of this incredible research were published in the prestigious scientific magazine Nature, entitled Nature. And it totally ripped up the paleontologist. Remember, they were the ones that believed in evolution, that we came from the fish and the lower animals and the primates, the monkeys and the apes, and became man. But what if it could be proven that all of human beings came from just one woman? It would show that all of the fossil theories are all wrong, all of their research. Now listen, let me read you right from Fate's book. The report by Wilson, Stone, King, and Kahn contained data indicating that all of mankind's mitochondrial DNA originated from one woman who lived in the vicinity of sub-Sahara Africa no more than 140,000 to 280,000 years ago. Remember, the paleontologists, they said, through millions of years of evolution, men evolved. But it was only a couple hundred thousand, maybe even less than that. DNA indicates that we were created. One woman was created, evidently. And all of us came from her. She's the origin of the cell of every man, woman, and child on Earth today. And you know, they gave her a name in that issue. The three researchers in Nature magazine, they gave her a name. They went ahead and called her Eve. Eve. Isn't that something? No more Homo erectus and caveman. No, we came from a woman just like us that had the same DNA. Well, that's astonishing enough. But then the geneticists decided to search for Adam. They found Eve. What about old Adam? Could he have existed too? Well, yes, because you see, in 1985, geneticist Gerard Lacout of the Collège de France in Paris found that there was a certain male Y chromosome known as haplotype 13. Now, without getting in all the scientific stuff, let me just say that he found in 1989, he announced his findings, that this particular chromosome, this genetic tracer, had originated at the same location as the genetic Eve, where she had been located. Amazing. The same date. Man and woman. One man, one woman. Oh, my. They have confirmed the book of Genesis. Now, Adam and Eve don't have to have lived in Africa, because remember, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden. Oh.
Got USA Today not too long ago, January 25th, the year 2000. It seems funny calling it that, doesn't it? 2000. Well, in another millennium here. You know, Section D, page 1, had a big headline. It says, dinosaur bird link smashed in fossil flap. Then it goes on to say that the National Geographic magazine has found out that their missing link dinosaur bird featured article of November 1999 is a fake. They had a picture of what they said was almost an unbelievable specimen. It was touted as the missing link between birds and dinosaurs. It was literally a dinosaur, half bird. It could fly. And they said, see here in the evolutionary chain, we can see that a bird became a dinosaur. Half bird, half dinosaur. Wow. They called it the Archaeoraptor. The Archaeoraptor bird. And they supposedly found the remains of one inside a rock, a fossil. National Geographic magazine published this fantastic research, and folks, it was a little bit too fantastic. I don't mean to laugh, but it just turns out these poor people at the National Geographic, determined to prove evolution, found out it's not true. Storrs Olsen, curator of birds at the Smithsonian Institution's Natural History Museum, and a skeptic of the bird-dinosaur link, said it's all a big hoax. He had warned the magazine in November. They failed to take heed. Now, National Geographic editor Bill Allen has apologized. In the latest issue of the magazine, he said it's sad that the National Geographic, known for its solid scientific studies and research, now finds itself at the center of a scientific embarrassment. Well, I'll tell you one, friends, that will not prove to be an embarrassment. Now, this was also a shocking story. No, my friends, it's not some hocus-pocus evolutionary bird-dinosaur link. By the way, I like the picture of this half-bird, half-dinosaur. You know, somebody really created a good one when they did that hoax. And in any case, in the Modesto, California Bee newspaper of April 23, 1997, was a story that just sort of grabbed my attention. It says, fossils reveal that long ago, snakes had legs. Paleontologists, this is from the New York Times, by the way, originally. It says, paleontologists say they have found the first compelling fossil evidence that long ago, snakes grew legs. Woo! They found a slender 3-foot-long snake, Pachyrhachus problematicus, that lived in the shallow sea 95 million years ago. Oh, sure. Found this fossil from a limestone quarry in Israel. First thought to be a lizard species, but now they find out that it was a snake, and it had short but well-developed hind limbs. Now, why do I know this isn't a fake? Well, because of the Bible. Remember the old serpent? He deceived Eve. He could talk. He could walk. But God said, because you are a liar, and I'm paraphrasing, you need to get the King James because it's right on. God says from now on, you're going to crawl on your belly. And that's a little Texas accent for God there. But I think you get the picture. Read it in Genesis. Put your own accent to it. But the fact is, the old serpent was going around on legs. But God cut off his legs way past the knee, friends. He's crawling on his belly on the dust of the earth. And that was a curse by God. And now scientists say we have found fossil evidence. And you know what? I believe they actually have. This is one that's going to stand up because snakes at one time actually had legs. And that's that's an astonishing thing, but it's true. Well, some people say, well, I tell you one thing you can't prove. It's that great flood that went over the whole world about Noah and the flood. Tex, that has to be a fake, doesn't it? Uh-uh. Let me tell you something, my friends. Did you know that every culture on the face of this planet has some kind of a writing, some kind of an ancient document or history book that tells about a certain great flood that was upon the face of the entire known earth? Where do you think they got that? I believe these legends all point back to the fact of the Genesis flood. Now listen to this. Geologists all over the earth have found a layer of sediment, which gives evidence that there has been a catastrophe, a catastrophic, I should say, worldwide flood, an inundation of water throughout the globe. Here in North America, they found fish on top of mountains in the Rockies. How did they get there? They found fish in the deserts in Nevada and Arizona. How did they get there? Fish. Especially at the top of mountains. Did they fly? Were there flying fish? Well, no. Now, here we get back to Genesis again. Now, let's move on along here. I can talk all about it. You'll have to read Holly's handbook of the Bible, tell you all about the ancient Babylonian epic of Gilgamesh that talked about a great flood. In fact, it was in this kind of document was found in Nineveh's great library, mentioned the time before the flood. A lot of people say, is there any history of what the world was like before the flood? Yes, there is. There is some history now being found. Now, you have to understand the early things were written on rocks, the tablets, or on leather or papyrus. All of those things, you know, seem to have disappeared for the most part. But now they're beginning to find many things, the archaeologists. They found, for example, that the earliest centers of population after the flood, places like Kish, Erech, Lagash, Akkad, Babylon, Eridu, Nippur, Larsa, Pharaoh, all of these cities had great libraries.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.